Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live right here from Hallelujah Acres, right on the great Hiawassee River, right here in the great state of Tennessee. Glad to have you in here. We're live, WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, transmitting Jewel of the South. We're glad to know that we're praising the King. I mean, it's wonderful to know the truth. And the Bible said the truth will make you free. Well, we got a great program. You don't want to miss this series. It's going to be controversial, of course. And it's going to be informative, of course. We're going into the Bible. You know, what society does today, what civilization does in most areas of the earth, is they ignore Yahweh. They take him for, if you are a real fanatical believer, you're considered to be, you know, a joke. You're not with the times. You know, the people can keep sinning and keep sinning and keep sinning, and they get away with it. It seems like they prosper. It seems the more wicked you are, the farther ahead you get. Now, I've noticed this, and I'm sure you've noticed it too. After over 50 years in the Christian faith, now I'm talking about Pastor Buddy, I started out as a young Baptist boy, and everybody in the church accepted me as a Christian believer, that I acknowledge and that I was righteous. And then after 45 years of progressive learning in the Christian faith, never failed to be a Christian, walked upright, I fasted, I prayed, but I learned knowledge. And by learning knowledge, you know, I had a collision with the Christian church. I'm telling you, now everybody almost believes that I'm stupid. Now, after 50 years, I growed stupid. Instead of learning, instead of processing, I've become a preacher that don't have any respect in the world. Of course, you ain't gonna get no respect from the world. What about the church world? Well, I even get less. And tonight is no exception. And this is because when I preach on these subjects that I've learned, I've growed. Now, the question is race mixing a sin? And the obvious answer is no, it's not. It's not a sin, according to the world. Now, if it's not a sin according to the world, then is the world right? Well, of course it is. You know the world is right. Well, what about 96 or 97% of the Christian church? Do they agree with the world? And the answer is, of course they do. And so then, the obvious answer, if we present it in this manner, is race mixing a sin? And 96% of the church world, the Christian church, say no. It's okay. Come to our church. We'll accept a multiracial. We're interracial. You see that? That's where I draw the line. That's where I have to separate myself. I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe, just maybe, that I haven't got it all together after 50 years. Maybe I've learned that much learning, and I have persistently and consistently pursued the truth. I want the truth. And I grew into this state of mind today that race mixing, according to the Bible, is a sin. And yet I find myself an oddball, an outcast, when I present my views to people. And so then we're going to study tonight on this very subject. I do believe that you're going to be blessed by the message. And I'm going to have to tell you that I just feel led. I told you last night that I really believed that Matthew 13, and there's 13 tribes. I don't know that there's any significance to that or any special biblical meaning, other than it's real easy to remember. Matthew 13 is the race chapter. Now, like I said, after 50 years, the church world believes that I've gone mad, that I'm beside myself, that I'm in error. I started out in perfect harmony with the Christian church. I was a believer. I was saved. I was baptized. I was accepted in the church. And I was a good guy. Then when I began to ask questions against what they lived, as opposed to what they preach, you know, it's not so much as what you say, it's what you do. You're known by your fruit, not by your rhetoric or your language. You're known by your fruits. Your fruits will tell you. Now, again, after last night's message that the evil generation in the end time is going right back as it was in the foretime. Now, my question is you. If you go back to a world as it was in the days of Noah, and that's where we're going, folks, I'm going to have to tell you this, and I believe it's biblical, at least the one that the Christian church talks about. They talk about the Christ, and they say that he said, and I'm not going to disagree because I believe it, they said that he said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, what were they doing? They were marrying and giving in marriage. The question is, who were they married? Now, listen to this. This is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the race of Adam. Now, don't read that way in your King James, but rightly divided, it says, this is the race of Adam. Now, the race of Adam is a one blood, kind after kind, example of offspring. That's what we would describe as genetics. Now, question. Would it be all right for Adam? Now, everybody believes in the Christian church. This is where I began to draw the line of separation. When I began to ask questions, I said, what color was Adam? They say, well, what's that got to do with it? I said, well, I'd just like to know, what color was it? Well, it really don't matter, because in the spirit, color don't matter. Well, we have different races. That's an example. And I'd like to cover this. I'll probably, if my mind don't change, because I really felt the unction of the Spirit today when I was praying and meditating about 3 o'clock, to teach at least 3 to 5 hours on this subject, is race mixing a sin? Now, I done concluded that the world says no. And if you agree with the world, you love the world, and the world says that we should love everybody. Now, I read the Bible, and I find exceptions to that. I read where Yahweh killed people for race mixing. I don't know why. I don't know why he felt that way, that when the world believes, the Christian church, 96 or 97%. Because they preach open acceptance of all races, whether they are blending their blood together, homogenizing it, or just living together with no children. And they say it's okay. All the church world and the Christian church world, the 501(c) churches, I really don't know of many churches that preach against race mixing. Now, did you know that there's more people on the black race? Let's take the black race for just a moment. We used to call them the colored race here in Tennessee, and that was the word for colored people. And as a courtesy, and we meant it as a courtesy back then, but today it's an insult to call a black person a colored person or a person of color, because white is a color. So it's true to, I think it's more appropriate to identify colors as white and black or black and white, and to determine that. We have what is called the yellow race. And of course, that's Asiatic. And we have a causatoid and a negroid and things like this. So we're going to get into that in part four. If I go five hours with this message, you don't want to miss the next four or five messages from the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. You don't want to miss them. I want you, and there's nothing you can do about the race problem. You can complain about it, you can preach about it, but it's going to go the way of the world because the world loves the world. And as the song that they wrote, we are the world, and it's a homogenized blend of all races blending together into not one blood, but many bloods coming together to create more diversities of colors that wasn't included in the beginning when it says there was a race of Adam. Now, in Genesis 6 and 9 says, these are the generations or the genetics. That's the better word. I wish they'd put that in there. It means the same thing. Look it up in your Strong's. We'll give you that detailed Strong's account later. But these are the genetics, or the generations, of Noah. He was a just man and perfect in his race. And Noah walked with God. Can you walk with him if you're not perfect in your race? That's a question. It's a serious question. I think we already examined it. The world says yes. It doesn't matter to God. Now, you can homogenize your blood, blend it together and all. You can have seven or eight different bloods in your a bloodstream, and it don't matter because blood is not the issue. Because they say flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Was it an issue in the biblical days of the flood? Here in Genesis 6. And the question would say, if we use the wording right, that Yahweh was only going to walk with those perfect in the race. Now, we know the disobedient on the days of Noah, that Yahweh reserved to punishment those that were disobedient in the disobedient. Disobedient by what? Because they didn't build them a boat. There'd been no rain. I mean, Noah looked like a kook out of building something he called a boat. They said, that's a funny-looking house, probably. They made fun, they mocked, according to the Bible, indicating that they figured that Noah, you know, had he had lost his marbles. Just like they figure, now that I am 50 years in the ministry, studying for 50 years, that I have absolutely become as foolish as Noah was. But the Bible said the day that Noah entered the ark and the door was shut, that's when problems came. Now, there will be no problems in this world until the door of time is shut. Or better yet, the door of judgment is open and everyone will give an account for the deeds done in his body. Now, does it matter? The world says no. But if it don't matter, you're saved, and you can do anything you want to. You can race mix. You can commit adultery. You don't have to keep none of the commandments. Hell, it's a free-for-all in the world. As long as you don't do your brother wrong and you love him and she loves you or whatever, and so you're doing no harm. It's a planet of love. And we talk about love. But love of what is the question? When you bring up the subject of what you're supposed to love and what you're supposed to hate. Yahweh said that he loved, and he also said he hated. So you got to draw the line on the subject matter. You've got to identify what you believe as opposed to what you practice. Because you'll never convince Yahweh that you believe anything until you live it. That's why he said, if you love me. And, of course, they were saying that they did. And he said, keep my commandments. Well, did you know in the commandments, there is a scripture after scripture after scripture in the Torah, which is the first five books of Moses. It illustrates the commandments, 614 to be exact, that you could study within the five books. And if you'll live by the Torah or the law, remember in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says sin, or if you commit sin, it is the transgression of the law. Now, when I said that I could read in the Bible where people race mixed and got out of the family of Israel, was Israel a special people? According to Deuteronomy chapter 7, it was, and they were commanded therein. And you know, when you bring up these questions in the Christian church, they'll say, oh, you're a troublemaker. You don't need to come here. If you don't believe what we believe, well, I said, what do you believe? Do you believe the Bible? Oh, yes, we believe it here. Well, why do you preach that race mixing is okay when the Bible... In Deuteronomy 7, we could go other places. We're right now, we're in the 6th chapter of Genesis, which was the cause of the flood. They were marrying people they were not supposed to marry. And as it is in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. The question pops up again, is race mixing okay? Now the world says yes. I'm inclined to go along with the world that race mixing is okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue. I don't want to be an outcast. I don't want to be hated. So I got to go with the world on this one. Race mixing is okay. But what about judgment? What about when you're going to have to give an account? Is it okay then? What about homosexuality? Is that going to be all right in the day of judgment? You're going to, well, yeah, because, you see, buddy, the flesh and blood, which is not going to inherit, it's not going to go up there, and all those old rotten fleshly deeds that you've done, that's okay. See, that don't get to go. Well, what about the guy that did all of that? Is there judgment after the deeds of the flesh man is dropped off? Does the man that lived in it, you see, the problem is, they somebody other than the man of flesh that lives in there, if so be that you belong to Yahweh. Now, when you disobey him, when you will not love him, when you will not keep his commandments, when you will not use the example of the law, which was the schoolmaster, if you don't subscribe to that teaching, are you going to be all right on the day of judgment? And then I have to change my mind. So then, if I don't believe that race mixing is proper, that I should marry within my own kind, and the world believes opposite, so I find myself in opposition against the world, or I should say the Christian church. That's where my concerns are. I don't love the world. I don't love the things of the world. and I don't love people in the world. I really don't. I have to admit it. I don't. I love Yahweh's faith keepers that walk according to the Bible and fear Him and use their lives as a light, keeping themselves pure and unspotted. What's that mean? Keep yourself pure. Noah was pure. He was perfectly pure in his race. That's what it says here. So then, it's going to be that those living in Noah's days were searched and there was nobody found within Noah's race that was as pure as he was. He was the only one found. Only eight souls. The rest of them had become unpure. When it says keep yourself pure, pure from what? If you got a can of paint and it's black and you pour a can of white paint into that black can, which one's going to dominate? The answer, obviously, is black because it's a dominant color. Well, if you have a can of white paint and you put a quarter of a can of paint in that white can, which color is going to dominate? And the color will be black. It's going to dominate. The effects of the black, although it's one-fourth blood, and if we're talking about blood here, we're talking about paint to compare. One-quarter can of paint of the black into the white will change its whole color. It will now be some type of a hybrid color. And you'd have to experiment to the point. Well, you see all that today. You see the blacks and the whites. Now, I was going to say that there's more teaching against race mixing in the black churches. And this is the truth. They know what's going to happen here. That their race, in its purity of black, is going to be tainted with white. And so then, the black churches, not all of them now, most of them go along with the Christian concept. It's okay if you're white and you marry a black man, or if you're a white man and you marry a black woman. You can go to most of these multiracial black churches. But there is exceptions. You're not welcome at more black churches. Now, I want to repeat this. I believe statistics will bear me out and prove me right. There is more resistance to the black race mixing with the white than there is the white mixing with the black. Now, isn't that incredible? What a switch. What a switch. A lot of the major black preachers on the world scene today will tell you that they shouldn't do this. Well, there's a white preacher here in Tennessee that's telling you that you shouldn't do it either. I agree with them. Although we're in a minority. Well, just because we're in a minority, does that mean that we're not right? Does it mean that the larger the crowd, the more righteous they are? And the answer is obviously no. Counter to that would be straight is the way, narrow is the gate, few there be that find the right way, as opposed to wide is the gate, and many there be that go on. And so then, the world, who would approve of race mixing, it's not wrong to them. They're going to do it, and they don't care what you say. Now, they're not going to listen to my message. It's not going to change them. They would speak against it if they had a chance. If I was in a debate, and 96% of the world churches, the churches in the world, I would be shouted down or resisted, or the majority of the votes, they would vote me out and vote to keep on doing what they're doing. So, my voice is not heard in 96% of the Christian churches today. I would be opposed. And that's why that they reject me. That's why they rejected Christ. He was the one that spoke the whole chapter of Matthew chapter 13. Now, we're going to go there. We've gone there before, and we've taught exclusively on chapter 13, and it's regarding the siege or the kind after kind issues. It's a real humdinger. It's a real bell ringer to me. Now, if I don't fear Yahweh, if I think I can get to heaven by loving the world and the things of the world, and going along with the relationships of race mixing included in that, can I make heaven my home? That's the question. Now, we've gone, the Bible said, be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. When he made the black man, or a yellow man, or a red man, or a white man, the question is, did he make them to homogenize their blood, to create other shades or colors, or variant colors of hue man? A hue man is someone with a colored hue. Now, like I say, you can add one quarter of a can of black paint to white paint, and you will change the color. You can add one quarter of white paint to a gallon of black paint, and you will not notice as much change as vice versa. That's what I'm telling you, that black is the dominant color. Not to say that black is wrong, because I done told you that there's more black churches that preach against race mixing than there is white churches, in my estimation. They are true to their kind after kind. And that's what the Bible said. Now notice this. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws in Genesis 26 and 5, he got an exclusive covenant, your seed. Your seed will inherit and become as the stars of heaven. Now, let's back up here and tell the truth. The world's correct. Abraham was a race mixer. Does that make him wrong? And the question is no. Because he was given a promise that he was going to inherit, but it was specifically, this is how we know the truth, it was specifically singled out that only one race of Abraham's union with Sarah. She had a son called Isaac. Isaac has left a legacy, the sons of Isaac, the Sacks, the Brit, and the story is that they were dispersed and scattered abroad for their disobedience, for the very thing of miscegenating into other races. This terribly angered Yahweh. He wanted the house of Isaac to stay pure and to stay righteous and to stay honest and to stay separated. Now, I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture at this point in Ephesians 5 and 5 and correctly read you the Greek. Be sure of this. Now, this is Paul's writing. You be sure of this. That no miscongenitor, missing or mixing the blood, or manser, or one who is covetous, that is an idolater, or an adulterating the blood, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now, I'll repeat it. Be sure that no miscongenitor or manser, same word, we'll go back to the word of manser and the miscongenitor just in a moment, show it's the same word. That is those who mix their blood. Or any covet. This covet didn't mean in that you cover another of some other kind. And a heart is foolish. When it falls in love, it's colorblind. This is the truth. That's why the world is winning the race, because it is saying, well, follow your heart. The Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. Why would you want to do that? If you follow your heart, your flesh man of the heart will tell you unimaginable things that you could get away with and God's okay with, but just because you love somebody. But it says that no miscongenitor or manser who is covetous, that is, an adulterator of the blood, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5 and 5. Read it for yourself. You ain't going to have no inheritance if you do these things, according to the New Testament. Know you not that the unrighteousness of those who perform these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, and neither miscongenitors, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. What side are you going to be on this matter? Are you going to be with a few that said, no, it's not right to race mix? No, you shouldn't do that. You should keep yourself pure according to the New Testament. I ain't even got in to the laws of the Old Testament. You're going to be amazed. But, you know, most Christians are going to object because they say, oh, that's under law. We don't follow that no more. We follow Christ in the New Testament. Well, here I am. Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Matthew 7:13. Be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do not mix or miscongenitor your blood to another kind, and cross it and create what we would describe as a hybrid species. Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill or to preach these things. Thou knowest the commandments, keep the law. If anybody teaches to break it, they're called the least in the kingdom. But today, if you say, oh, it's okay, See, it's changed. We don't have to keep that law today. The Bible said you'd be called the least, meaning that those who promote is the majority who say it's okay, as opposed to those that say it's wrong and become the few. So what side are you on in this matter? Are you going to take a stand? Well, what everybody does, that's their business. I'm not gonna say nothing about it. Glory to God. Well, did you know there's rewards for them that will speak out against wrong? You know what the reward for Noah was? When he said, "No, I'm not gonna pollute my purity of race. I'm not going to join these race mixers out here as it was in the days of Noah." Remember, it's going to be like that in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, question. Who promotes all of this? And practices it? The world. The church world. I'm talking about the Christian church. Where you go to church, and if you go to one of these places and you've got it going on in front of your eyes, you're a partaker of the evil deeds. And therefore, you're not going to justify yourself and say, well, now, Lord, it wasn't none of my business. It wasn't none of my business, Lord. Listen to this one now. King Solomon. He was a son of David. David was a king of Israel. David's heart was pure. There wasn't a man like him. He pleased Yahweh. He never did love, I'm talking about David now, he never did love the Norcrow or the Nicarol. Strong's number 5237. That is strange women. A Norkey. But he loved the Egyptian daughters of Pharaoh. He loved the Moabites. He loved the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites, and the Canaanites. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. He race mixed. The question, did not Solomon, the king of Israel, sin by doing these things? Nehemiah 13:26-27. Now, if you don't believe that the 13th chapter of Nehemiah is against race mixing, you need to read. Now, it's okay. If you want to do it, it's okay. I mean, you go right ahead. I'm not going to stand against you or oppose you. I don't agree with you, but I'm not going to join you in your practices. I'm going to speak out against it, and I'm going to do it in such a nice way that I don't want to lose you as a friend. But it'll separate us if you go ahead and do it. I'll have no more fellowship with you. Bible said, have no fellowship with the sons of darkness. These are the ones that break Yahweh's spiritual laws, be it white, black, red, green, or yellow. Nehemiah 13, Ezra chapter 9 and 10 will confirm that it was a sin according to these great prophets, that what Solomon did was sin. And it's confirmed in 1 Kings 11 and 1, the practices of Solomon did not please Yahweh, and it was a sin, and yet he did it. I mean, he took so much liberty that he married Egyptians, he married Moabites, he married Amorites, he married Edomites, he married Canaanites, he married Sidonians, he married the Hittites. It didn't matter to him. See, he joined the world. David stayed true to the covenant. I have found David, my servant, a man after my own heart. He didn't say that about Solomon. Now, this is judgment. What do you say? Not only did Solomon sin, but he allowed his son Rehoboam, which was a manser, who was born of Nehemiah, an Amoritist. Now listen to that. Rehoboam was a manser. And it says when a manser rules in the kingdom of Israel that there will be consequences. Well, guess what? Who's ruling in America today? We're going to have consequences, ladies and gentlemen. And he admits he's a manser. I mean, he's not ashamed of it. And yet, people in America voted him in over George Bush because of George Bush's 8 years. We couldn't take. I didn't vote, but if I'd have voted, I'd probably voted for Obama. I don't know where I would or not. But to make my point, people were so fed up with George Bush being an evil king that they voted in a manser to take his place. And the Bible, see, it's breaking the laws of Yahweh. Yahweh's laws said that an Amorite cannot enter the congregation of Yahweh to the 10th generation to succeed him as king. In other words, his bloodline would have to go through 10 generations. It's almost impossible. It was for this abomination before Yahweh that the house of Israel separated themselves from the house of Judah, never to be rejoined. And everybody thinks that the Messiah came from the house of Judah, that he was Solomon's offspring. If you believe that, I got some oceanfront property down in Phoenix, Arizona. I'd like to sell you an acre of that. If you'll buy that, you'll buy anything. I could convince you there's an oceanfront property in Phoenix. Judah dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of Yahweh, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a foreign god. Yahweh will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar. He will separate him out of the tabernacle of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto Yahweh. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Yahweh will not accept the offering. It's an abomination for a manzer to serve. Judah dealt treacherously. There it is. Rehoboam was a manzer. He was born of Naamath, the Amoritist, the mother, by whom Yahweh's law said could never enter the kingdom or the temple. And Solomon, in defiance, through political persuasion, when it come time to appoint his heir, he appointed Rehoboam, knowing that he was a manzer, knowing it was against the laws of Yahweh. Can you believe that you can become so corrupt after knowing the truth that you can separate yourself and fall away and die a miserable, horrible death? And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities, even back of their fathers. Nehemiah chapter 9 that I quoted a while ago, verse 2, you would be well served to read Nehemiah chapter 9 and 10. You'd be well served to read the 13th chapter. Matter of fact, from 9 to 13, read it. From Ezra, from the 9th chapter, read it. And see that Yahweh said for them to separate from the mixed multitude. These are the mixed blood manzers. So I separated from them all foreigners, or Norki, and I appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites, every man in his ministry, Nehemiah 13:30. I separated all of the Israelites who had married foreigners, or Norki. And I say to the rebellious house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh, O house of Israel, let there be an end to all your abominations. Let there be an end to all your abominations. In admitting foreigners and uncircumcised in heart and flesh to be accepted in my sanctuary by profaning it, when you offer to me food, fat, and the blood of bulls and rams, you have broken my covenant in addition to all your other abominations. Ezekiel chapter 44, still going on, ladies and gentlemen, in the days of Ezekiel. Thus saith Yahweh, no foreigner, no uncircumcised, in heart or flesh, shall enter unto my sanctuary of any foreigners that are among the children of Israel, separate. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 9. Now, the world says that we're living in a different time under a different God that changed his mind, and that's okay to do all these things. We have taken the message of Solomon, the Manzorite, the one that loved many strange women, and brought this abomination upon the house of Israel and the children of Israel, and today the sin has increased to fill the earth as it was in the days of Noah. You shall not bring near the bread of your God that is set 12 loaves daily, fresh baked. You shall not let the hand of a son or a daughter or a foreigner of any of these, for their corruption is in them. They are blemished, and they are not acceptable for you to let them handle the bread of God. Levi, or Leviticus, from the Levite command of the law of Moses, chapter 22, verse 25. Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 3. Neither shalt thou make marriages with these. You will not let your daughters, or you shall not let your sons, and you shall not marry or cross-marry into these nations that I command you. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2. A manzer shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh, even to the tenth generation. Shall he not enter into the congregation of Yahweh? And today it's accepted. Mr. Obama is a welcome guest. And he says he's a manzer. The Christian church is accepting him. Are you in tune with the world and the world church, the Christian church? They approve it. The Bible don't, but they do. Where is the change? The change is not in Yahweh's word. The change, or the corruption, or the abomination is still in the people that claim Christ for their Savior. Not everything that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter in. You better read your Bible. I read it for 50 years and become a fool. I started out smart. I hadn't read the Bible none. I became a member of the church. I was well accepted, well liked. After 50 years of studying the Bible, I'm hated because I speak out against things that the Bible speaks out. And believe you me, you can get in more trouble by speaking for the Word of God or confirming it and believing it and practicing it. You can stir up a hornet's nest in any church that I've ever gone into. I can stir up a hornet's nest. If you don't believe it, you just come and join me and we'll go to one of these ever-loving, God-fearing churches of Jesus Christ and see if they'll believe it. You'll see that they're more like the world than they are like the Bible. Compare the reflection of every church should be the face of God's Word, with that being the final, absolute authority, but it's not so. We got compromisers. We got bastards taking over the church world. I'm going to repeat that. Well, what's a bastard? Well, let's find out. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3. An Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter the congregation of Yahweh. Shall they not enter the congregation forever? Deuteronomy 23:3. Now, concerning a bastard, Zechariah 9:6. A bastard race shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, a bastard race. We got any around today? No, there's no such thing. Ain't no bastard races today. Everything's pure. And the more we homogenize it and bottle it and sell it, the more it seems like that that's God's word or God's way, because many there be that follow these ways of those who turn their face from Yahweh's commandments to keep their own tradition. Genesis chapter 26. Let's see if Yahweh frowns on things like I'm talking about tonight. Is race mixing a sin? Not to the world. The world loves its own. If you love Yahweh's commandments, you're going to be hated. That, he done told you that. It's going to be the time is coming when you can't speak out against these things because Yahweh and His Word has no place in them. Count it all joy when you're cast out. 96% of Christian churches today will not accept my teaching tonight. 96%. And they glorify Jesus and shout under a pretentious anointing. Oh, they'll dance across the stage and the whole world will dance with them. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Bereah the Hittite, the same one that Solomon married into. It's a Esau tradition, which brought a great grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Egyptians, and the Amorites. Ezra 9, that I suggested you read. For they have taken to them of their daughters for themselves. Our sons have married them, and for their sons, the daughters have accepted them, so that the holy seed has mingled, that's race mix, that's blood mix, themselves with the people of the lands. Yea, the hands of the princes and the rulers have been chief in the transgressions and sins of this matter. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God, Yahweh, to put away all these wives. Boy, would that go over in a church world today. You see why I'm hated? 50 years of serving Yahweh just to be hated. Started out, accepted, loved. As long as I went with them, as long as I didn't question, as long as I didn't want to read the Scriptures, as long as I didn't testify of these Scriptures, as long as I kept my mouth shut, played my guitar and sung, but when I opened the Bible and began to preach and shout under the anointing, it didn't set too well. Set your teeth on edge. I got to close tonight. My time is coming down. I love you in the most awesome way. May Yahweh bless you, and may He keep you, and may He cause His sun to shine upon you. I'll be back Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 8 Central, with part 2 of Race Mixing, Is It a Sin? Biblically expressed. We'll give you the Bible. We wouldn't want to confuse you. You can either accept it or reject it. We don't try to persuade you one way or the other. You decide. I'll see ya in the great name of Yahweh Monday night around the world. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey in the great state of Mississippi. Yahweh bless all of you. And we'll join you next Monday night.